Your presence today, whether you like to admit it or not, or even understand it or not, makes the sacrifices of all those veterans worth it. It does. I don't care what anybody says in the Spokesman Review or the Inlander or whoever. That's what really is a great message tonight. And it's not just veterans who are on a battlefield serving in the military. It's veterans like Margot Beale. It's veterans like John Beale, veterans of a fight that they fought knowing it might not happen in their generation, but they were setting it up for the generations to follow so that the generations that follow could see freedom and liberty, even if our generation didn't. That is what our founding fathers did. That is what we need to continue to do. When I saw those kids up here, I got to tell you something, I almost cried. I was actually, I'm sorry, I'll admit it, I was tearing up. And I don't tear up very often because it might not happen in my generation. I'm going to tell you something. The baby boom generation screwed things up. My generation made it worse. And it's going to be that generation that was up here on the stage tonight that's going to see the fruits of everything that we have done and the fruits of what Marble has done for the last 21 years. And if you don't understand that and why that's important, then you don't understand sacrifice. Because sacrifice sometimes is doing it even if you're not going to get the reward for it, but maybe your kids and grandkids are. That's what keeps me going. Is that what keeps you going? Is that what keeps you going? Do you want to see your kids and grandkids live in peace and prosperity and freedom? Then we can't just have Marble the 4th of July. It's got to be Marble the 4th of July every single day of the year. Right now, I want to honor our veterans. I did it last night as well because, you know, when I was getting shot at on Paintball Wars, I was kind of a big target. It reminded me of those guys that they just answered the call and they did it as Americans. And I talked last night about Fort McHenry and these guys that literally every time the flagpole was hit by the British and the bombardment of Fort McHenry, where our Star Spangled Banner was written from, actually out in the harbor, they would raise that flagpole up again and again and again and again and again. Talk about stick-to-itivity. And they did it giving their lives for it. And when the dawn broke, there were all those dead patriots at the bottom of that flagpole, but that sucker was still up there. And you know something? That is what should motivate us, that our Constitution, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, I don't care what a politician says, I don't care what the president says, if our Constitution is still there, then we need to take it and hold it up in the air and say, you can't rip it up. So all you veterans out there that fought for that Constitution, stand up right now. Let's recognize it. Let's give you a big round of applause. Now, we learned a lot this weekend. There are a lot of speakers. We learned a lot. We learned that the root cause of apathy is fear, and that Scripture says over 300 times, do not fear. So, you think God thinks that's important? Then we need to leave Marble, and we need to understand we shouldn't fear anything. If God is sovereign, and we trust Him, then there is nothing that a politician in Olympia, there is nothing that a politician in Washington, D.C. could do to us. There is nothing that the federal government could do to us, even if they lock up our patriots like Anthony Bosworth. There is nothing that our state courts can do to us, even if they sentence us for filming things like they did with Gavin Syme. There is nothing they can do to us because God is in control and He's on the throne. And if we believe what we believe is really real, then why on earth aren't there patriots posting lists of grievances on every door of every county courthouse and every state governor's mansion in Washington State, Idaho, and the rest of this country? We should tell them enough is enough. The people have had enough. We're not going to take it anymore. And when we celebrate independence, it's going to be by giving you notice that we have had enough. And if you don't change, we the people the government of this country will change it for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Do we believe that? Do we believe it?
Yes.
Folks, we live in an era of lawlessness. I told y'all last night about 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, because they can't do it in daylight, right? They got to scurry away in the darkness and pass a gas tax in Washington State. And then they all, at least in the Senate Democrat side of the House, get drunk and blow up a budget deal. That literally happened in Washington State. I don't write this stuff. I can't make it up. We live in an era of lawlessness in this country. The question isn't all the doom and gloom. We know it's bad, don't we? We all know it's bad. Sometimes you kind of have that feeling in your heart like you're mourning over the loss of a loved one because you're seeing what's going on in this country. We know that's what's going on. We know we live in an era of lawlessness. The question is, are we the confessing church? Are we confessing patriots? Are we the confessing church? Wow, there's three people that are the confessing church in this room tonight. Are we the confessing church? Are we confessing patriots? That is what it means to be an American. That's what's so different. You go to other countries, and all they do is follow along. The idea of freedom, no matter what the government says, no matter what anybody says, except God, that is American. That's what it means to be an American. That's what it means to live freedom and not just talk about it. You don't build the surveillance state unless you intend to use it. You don't create a bureaucracy unless you intend to use it. You don't advance political correctness and say you got to stop talking unless you want the people silent. Folks, this is intentional, deliberate evil. We need to treat it as intentional, deliberate evil. And if we don't treat it, we're going to get run over. But if we stand on that line and we confront and we trust in God, there is nothing that will prevail against us. It doesn't matter the odds. It doesn't even matter the numbers. How many people you think are in this room tonight? I don't know. How many think are at Marble this weekend? I think maybe 200, maybe 300. You remember Gideon? That's enough. All right, 450. That's enough. 450, that's enough. God used 300. Shoot, we got kind of an advantage. We got kind of an advantage here in numbers. Folks, aside from the drunken debauchery in the state Senate, we have Obama trade. We have the giving away of our national sovereignty. Folks, it happened in our time right before our eyes. They gave away our national sovereignty to a global governance superstructure. It happened in our time. 2 weeks. During 2 weeks, we lost that. We lost state sovereignty from the Supreme Court and the abomination of homosexual marriage. And then, we had an Obamacare decision that basically said any law is constitutional as long as it wasn't intended to be struck down. Huh? Now, I ain't the smartest lawyer out there. But what? So there is no law? Yeah, well, you might as well have said that. And that's exactly what Justice Scalia said. And we learned it this weekend. There has been a judicial putsch. Putsch. What does that mean? A coup. A coup. You had a Supreme Court justice write in a dissenting opinion, there's been a coup.
Wow.
Wow is right. I mean, it's wide open. It's out in the open. I heard a long time ago, and this is a little bit off color, but a friend of mine said, eventually the globalists are going to have to run buck naked to the finish line, and that's exactly what they're doing right now. They are totally exposed, running, and they don't care. They are so brave right now, they don't care. But do we care?
Yes.
Do you care?
Yes.
Folks, we the people cannot govern. We're watching the systematic destruction of our republic. We the people cannot govern. We cannot be the government of the United States of America if we don't participate. Republicans aren't going to fix it. Democrats definitely aren't going to fix it. Jesus Christ is going to fix it through each one of us. We have one party right now that stands for the wrong principles, and we've got another party with a few exceptions that is without principle. Who's got to be the principal? We do. Jesus Christ working through us is the principal. And this isn't about Republican or Democrat or left or right. It's whether these United States live or die, whether they continue for another generation. That is the charge we have. Now, you may not want that charge. You may not think that you're up to it. You may think this is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So let's not hear that anymore. And I hear some patriots say they're too big. They've got too many tanks and guns and bureaucrats. Well, how can we possibly beat that? You know what? They said the same thing with William Wallace against the British. They said the same thing with George Washington against the British. And by the way, there's a theme here about the British. Maybe we need to sing, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we caught the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. Well, we had guns and we British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Wow! That's how we deal with tyranny in America! Now, the Irish were a little slower. It took them another 100 years, but they did the same thing, too. In fact, Michael Collins bragged there was only 2,000 Irishmen in the field at any given time, and they threw off the yoke of tyranny. So don't tell me. There's 2,000. There's way more than 2,000 patriots. There's millions of patriots in this country. Millions of patriots in this country. Our hope isn't in man. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And whether America will continue as a great beacon of freedom for the next 100 years is on our shoulders tonight. And you know what? I embrace that. Jesus Christ knew before the beginning of time that we would be here now, called to this service. I don't understand it. He does, and I trust him. It's about telling government that they need to come through us if they're going to get to our children. It's about clearing up some confusion that government is the problem, not the solution. It's about rebuking people who use emergency to ignore the Constitution. And I want to read to you a quote from 1934, Justice Charles Evans Hughes. Emergency does not create power. The Constitution was adopted in a period of grave emergency. It grants of power to the federal government were determined in the light of emergency, and they are not altered by emergency. I am sick and tired everywhere I go. Well, we got to do that whole take away your rights thing because there's terrorists. We got to do that whole take away your freedom of speech because of terrorists. We got to do that whole seize your property because it's for your own good. They don't say terrorists, but they're bureaucratic terrorists. Okay, I got that. We have to understand that the Constitution was made in an emergency and for emergencies, and not let the federal government steal that and say, oh, that's all right, we're going to take all your rights. Freedom, true freedom, is born in emergency and is fostered by emergency. That's how we know we're Americans. If there's a wildfire in the field across the road here, Marble, Washington, we'll put that out before the government ever got here. And you have many times. We learned this weekend, too, about some solutions, about IDing the right people. We need to find the right patriots out there who are principled, uncompromising, wise, discerning, fearless warriors. That's what we got to find. We've got to pray and fast because restoration starts with us and our families now. Starts with each individual. If you haven't prayed and repented and you don't do it on a daily basis, you need to. That's where restoration starts. We need to focus on local community. That was another thing. Join an assembly. Join AMRON. We need to fight this as a community. There should be Marble Washingtons all over the United States of America. There should be celebrations like this all over the United States of America because this is what the United States of America should look like and did look like. Sitting in a barn, looking at Jordan Page, talking about freedom and liberty, and then singing about freedom and liberty, and then living freedom and liberty. Man, that's America. Doesn't that get you pumped up? It gets me pumped up because what a gift we've been given. What a gift we've been given. What an opportunity. What are we going to do with it? We need to continue to fight in politics. We learned that this weekend. Go on the offense. Ask the media questions. Get in their face. Make them defend their godless, communist positions. Make them defend the things that they try to spin on us. They're like, well, why are you going up to God and country? Matt Shea's going up to God and country. That's got to be something nefarious. There's something going on there. We need to see it. It's got to be bad. Matt's going up there. Wow. You know, and for the Inlander, it is bad. I'm celebrating God. I'm celebrating country because I know that doesn't happen at the Inlander or the Spokesman Review or the Seattle Times. Folks, I can't give you the heart to fight. It's got to be inside of you. I can't give you the fire if you're not willing to receive it. It's got to be something that you're willing to accept. And it's got to be something inside of you that you light. So are you going to light a fire in your hearts tonight? Are you going to light a fire that keeps burning long after you leave here? That's what it means to be a keeper of the flame. It's a matter for us of resolve. We have to send a clear message when we leave here and go about our lives after the 4th of July that we will not rest, that we will carry that flame, that we will not rest while government tries to control every facet of our lives, from health care to gasoline to water and food. We will not rest while the government tries to debase our money and create, I think, clearly a financial crisis. That we will not rest while government seizes property illegally. We will not rest while our children are being indoctrinated. We will not rest while government ignores state sovereignty. We will not rest while government tries to demonize Christians. We will not rest. What we will do is we will raise the standard. And we will raise the standard. And we will keep raising the standard. Every time the federal government tries to tear it down, there it will be again. Every time the federal government tries to tear up the Constitution, it'll be there again. Every time they try to tear up the Declaration of Independence, it will be there again. And it will keep being there, time and time and time again, until we have a restored, God-honoring constitutional republic. When it's an interesting thing in battle, when you charge out from a foxhole, you got a couple thoughts in your mind. First of all, is there anybody following me? In fact, in paintball today, I had a couple thoughts. Anybody following me? The second thought you have, if they are following you, is what is my target? We have to be focused, extremely focused on what our target is. And our target is tyranny. Our target is tyranny by whatever form it takes at whatever level of government. And we also have to understand that when we charge out of that foxhole, it doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young. It's just that you're charging out of that foxhole and you're focused on the target. So when you leave, be bold and courageous in your faith. Be bold and courageous in your defense of the Constitution. Be bold and courageous in your articulation of the principles of freedom. But more important than that, when everything seems to be in chaos around you, focus on God and He will lead the way. Amen. He will lead the way. And if we walk on the path that God has given us, and we're struck from the left, and we're struck from the right, and we walk over hills, and we walk over obstacles, and we keep walking, and we keep walking that path with our friends and our families and our community, there is nothing that will stop us. There is nothing that will stop us, because God is the one that's clearing the path. God is the one who's laid us out, and God is the one we're following. And if we do that, we will restore freedom and liberty in America. If we do that, we will see our kids and our grandkids live what we couldn't live. We will see our kids and our grandkids once again as that beacon of light that Jesus Christ shines through us to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world looks at America and says, you know what? We want to be like that. We want to have what they have. We want to have Jesus Christ. We want to have a constitution. We want to have liberty. We want to have freedom. And we want to have it for our kids and our grandkids. If we do that, we have just fulfilled every command that God has asked us to fulfill. And not only are we Americans, we are Christians that have stored up treasure in heaven. Thank you very much. God bless you guys. All right. Now in the tradition, if John Jacob is ready, is he ready? Nod your head, John Jacob. In the tradition of Braveheart in Scotland, one of the best Scotsmen I know, and one of the bravest guys I know also, because literally when people said it couldn't be done, he has set up a network all over the United States of America with Amron, and done, and this is what's great, done what no one else thought could be done because he followed the leading of Jesus Christ. Let's give a warm marble welcome to my good friend, John Jacob Schmidt of Amron.
Thank you, brother. Take it easy, brother.
How you guys doing tonight? All right. Oh, let me do some adjusting here. I got my teleprompter. I got my props. I'm going to try to go hands-free and try to stay still if I can, because I'm going to get pretty excited because, Matt, you got me all worked up. Rah! Hooah! Right? Okay, I'm going to use the same opening line that I used in Prosser a couple months ago, because it just worked. What's the first rule in public speaking? Know your audience, right? I was told to be prepared to speak to a group of God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Are there any God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots in the house? Yeah. Nice. Okay. Now, Matt is the eternal optimist. It's hard. We should have just went flip, because you're going to probably need your spirits lifted. I'm going to try to do that. But there's some things that we are facing that are very sobering to us that we need to take seriously. But through all of that, we need to remember that our hope is in Jesus. He is our King. We are servants of the King Most High, and we win in the end. Whoa. All right. There's some things that we need to confront, though, that we just need to come to terms with. First of all, I want to thank, I cannot even, words are just pathetic to even attempt to say how I feel toward the organizers and all the staff here at Marble who have made this thing go. It's just amazing people. When you thought they couldn't top it, they did. Now, as most of you know who've heard me speak before, I don't do Facebook media, social stuff, so don't take pictures of me. And if you just can't help yourself, talk to me if you want to sanitize the picture. There's reasons why. There really are reasons why. I just don't want to take up an hour of your time talking about it, right? For those of you who don't know me, my background is Army. I was in the Special Forces as a radio operator. I was with 5th Group, and then before that I was with 3rd Group, and I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I was a military contractor for several years, and just a couple years ago, the Lord shifted me into doing this full time. This is not what I thought I would do when I grew up, let me just put it that way. But the Lord's opened up all kinds of doors. The other people that I want to thank are the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt, who at their own expense have come here to work tirelessly in this heat since Thursday, setting things up, helping to answer questions. The Amron operators that are working with people and answering questions, because I've just been going 180 miles an hour. It's just been a blur for me. So thank, I'm just a hand to those guys who've just worked nonstop. Eating a lot of dust. Let me ask, who is the youngest armed partisan patriot here tonight? Anybody 16 armed? Who's here? Are you 16? Is there a 15-year-old that's armed here? Okay, come up here. I got something I want to give to you. Now, this is appropriate, actually, because this young woman, this young partisan, was on my paintball team today. She was one of the last ones to come off the field in each game. And so, bless your heart, she's armed right now. This is a book, ties into what I'm going to be talking about tonight. It's called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom, the only survivor of her family in an underground network, smuggling, hiding, persecuted Christians and Jews and pilots and people like that. They all went, they paid the ultimate price. This story is so uplifting, sad as it is, but it's a reality that sometimes in the cycle of things, the full cycle of history, when things come around, it's your turn. It was their turn to face a tyrant and defy tyranny and save lives in a God-honoring way. They broke the law by appealing to the highest law, God's law, by preserving and protecting life. And they paid the price for it. I want you to have this. So thank you very much. God bless you. And I hope that... just go ahead. Thank you very much. Now, I'm not trying to... Okay, the Holy Spirit. Hold on here. This young girl in that book was the only survivor of her family. Now, I'm not trying to send you any messages, Bosworths, all right? God bless you. Oh, that plaque, John Beale, that was a mentor of mine, a godly man that was such a firm rock in my life. Dang it. Anyway, he's a pretty cool guy, and I really like him. His name's the first on that. Who's going to be next? I don't want my name on that plaque, by the way. But it got me thinking today when we went out on that paintball field. I asked, who wants to be on my team, wants to fight with me, side by side with me? There were several people that said, yeah, I'll be there, man. We're going to put this team of warriors together. And they asked for people to sign up. And they stood there, lined up, and there was an 11-year-old girl, and there was a 16-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy and a mom in a dress. Said, we'll fight with you. And there was another young man in his 20s fighting military age. And that was my team. Now, I joked earlier when Matt and I were ribbing each other. I should remember this, jocks win battles, but nerds win wars, right? Matt is very intelligent, so we have a very, very formidable foe ahead of us. He's a thinker. Now, he's also a jock. He's just a really smart one. I told my team, I said, they are going to try to take me out first. I'm the biggest threat to them. The adversary will be gunning for me. I will probably not be with you for very long. You must continue the mission when I'm gone. John Beale passed that torch on to us. He's a warrior. But he passed that on to us, and it's our job to continue with the mission. And I've often said, I wish the Lord would just pick someone else, because really I just like to just go elk hunting next month. Let somebody else do this, right? But we're called to this. And we better be obedient to this. We're faced with some really interesting times, to say the very least. We have to continue the mission. Now, what I've personally been called to, some of you have probably not heard before. We've got some new faces here. Many of you have said, what is the redoubt? I keep hearing this. So I want to explain that first before we move on. The redoubt is it's a safe haven and refuge. A redoubt is like a castle is referred to as a redoubt. It's a fallback, defensible position where you can gather with your people to stand ready to face an adversary. James Rawls, a popular author and a former military intelligence officer, was the senior editor for years and years at survivalblog.com. He wrote an article called A Call for Patriots to Move to the American Redoubt. And I'd never heard of it before. My father gave me this article 5 years ago now, 5.5 years ago, whenever it was. Hey, check this out. What do you think? Now, I was at this time where I was just feeling this heaviness about my country and the direction that it's going, and I didn't see us taking the courses that we needed to reverse. You know all the sayings? If we don't do this, we're going to lose the republic. If we don't turn that around, America will go into the history books. We've all heard all that, right? So I thought, well, there's no shortage of solutions. We know what to do. We're just not doing it. So everybody says, well, if we don't do this, then we're going to lose our country. So we need to take back America, right? What happens if we don't? What's that look like when it plays out to the end? What does it look like when you lose the republic? Well, go to the history books. Let's start studying the republics and empires that did go down into history. And let's start looking at some of these indicators. And does it really apply to us? Because we are America, after all. Well, doggone it, we're special. So most rules don't apply to us anyway. But we are walking right down the same path as the other empires. And guess what? It's like people have been warning. There's persecution coming for a specific group. There's always a specific group that's persecuted right at the fall of an empire. Several indicators to point to that when that final nail is in the coffin of a republic or, an empire. One of those things is pervasive sexual deviancy, especially homosexuality, when it becomes state-sanctioned national policy. Here we are. No nation has ever survived where we are. Nobody's ever survived past where we are right now. But we're America, doggone it, so we're special. So we'll be able to just, throw off all that, right? Don't count on it. Now, I said, this American redoubt thing that James Rawls wrote about, if all of the patriots gathered together regionally in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Eastern Washington, and Eastern Oregon, everything from the Cascades eastward, it's already super conservative. There's pockets of liberals all over. We know that. But for the most part, it's very conservative. Is there another solution? If we keep going down the same path we've been going down, is there another solution? If we won't turn America around, that means the hostility towards us is going to increase. The tyranny is going to increase. The social tyranny against us is going to transition to state-sanctioned tyranny against us. And here's the thing that we need to snap out of, patriots, Christians. Tyranny is never a temporary trend. It's not like parachute pants. We're like in just 10 more years, it will be past it, right? It keeps coming. So what's that going to look like to us? Well, first of all, I agree. The statement in the meeting that we had, how long have I been here? 8 days? 3 days? It's all blurring together. It's felt like it's 8 days, like 4 days. Each day is... Okay, the trigger's been pulled. The tyrant isn't just playing patty cakes anymore. They're just saying, this is just the way it is. I mean, we're not going to even try to justify it anymore. It's just like, these are the new rules. And so, did we all mourn this week over what happened? I did. Snap out of it. There's a mission. Get ready to get it on. Okay? And we're going to talk about what it is. There's going to be several phases. Now, this is what happened. Disclaimer. I didn't know I was teaching this until I got the updated schedule yesterday. So I've been in the middle of this multi-part series of The Coming Underground. I started this like a month ago. The Coming Underground. Folks, things are going to change in our country. This is going to change everything forever. We need to be prepared for that. And the eventuality, the Christian patriots will have to, out of necessity, go underground. What will that look like and what would our roles be? And then last week happened. It accelerated my little plan, my vision, like, you know, a year, 2 years out, just went crunch. It is at the threshold now. So it's timely that I'm talking about this. However, what I had to do was scramble with all the spare time that I've had in the last 24 hours and try to pull all these main key components out to present to you. So it's not polished. Should I apologize? No, I will not. I'm just going to continue the mission. So what I did this last week, after I decided morning's over, I'm so sad. What happened today in the courts? Okay, what's next? First of all, identify the problem. I put out a posting. The Republic is dead. And it's a long, not very long. It's basically just kind of my observations of what happened, what this means for us, and to finally make the declaration. We have to come to terms with the fact that the Republic is dead. We are not functioning as a republic any longer. The Supreme Court has ruled, has made the proclamation that it is now a lawmaking body. And subjecting U.S. laws, the highest law, under international law. Now, how many people are squawking about that? Oh, they're just the right-wing extremists. I was talking to a couple partisans yesterday. They were watching this show about the millionaire, who wants to be a millionaire, or what's it like to be a millionaire? I can't remember what it was called. And they have this board. They ask him questions, just all kinds of civic questions and everything else. And they said, okay, which flag is the only flag that can fly above the United States flag? You're right, but only on the open sea. Only the Christian flag can fly above the United States flag, but only in the open sea. So this guy, people are like, well, geez, I don't know. That the United Nations flag, ding, 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 correct. He got the answer correct on a game show with millions of viewers. And how many millions of people said, I didn't know that. So they're running around telling their friends, hey, you know the only flag that's authorized to fly above the United States flag? Huh? That's the United Nations flag. Everyone knows that. They are indoctrinating our people. They've permeated every facet of our culture. And our people are too dumb to realize it. They are literally dumbed down. So this week, my mission was to identify what just happened, and then what do we do? An action plan. So that's what we're going to talk about with, and you know what? I'm horrible with time. What time did I start, and what time do I need to stop? Organizers, head guys, sound guys, free for all. Okay, guys? My laptop says I got 3 hours and 20 minutes of life left. All right. Hang on to your seats. So, let me say this. I just want to put out a statement to President Barack Hussein Grand Potentate. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not by religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom to worship here. You know what? We have the liberty of Christ here, and that's where liberty comes from. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there's liberty here. So you know what? All you other religions, you have asylum here. But we are called to occupy, and we failed. I want to remind you of another thing. I love the Founding Fathers, at least the Founding Fathers the first time around. There's a new set of Founding Fathers coming on the scene. I don't know if you recognize that yet or not. December 23rd, 1776, said, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in the crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly." I looked in these big eyes today. What do we do? Getting ready to go into combat. And their hearts, they're willing. Matter of fact, the fighting age man who said, "Yeah, we'll be on your team," showed up, and it's like, "You're too late. The list is already filled up." The people who showed up and ran to the front of the line had no prior experience. I told them, the odds are against us. We are up against a superior adversary. The chances are that we will probably not survive this. And they said, "That's okay." And as patriots today, let me tell you something. We are up against a very formidable opponent, that we are outnumbered. We are outgunned. All of the odds are against us. We should lose. We will lose unless we rely on him. Remember last year when I talked about that with Nehemiah, what he did with 300 men up against 30,000? When they had God on their side? That's just one example. So what happened last week? Patriots, we got a fight ahead of us, and the odds are against us, and we have a superior enemy, except we have God on our side, which makes us superior. This isn't a game. It's not a paintball game. Which is kind of funny. Matt has taken such a beating in this legislature, he just needed a victory. All right, so. Look. If he can walk around superior warrior, I smoked an 11-year-old girl and a 16-year-old girl. He's like this. Right? I'm like, "Dude, you are the master tactician. It's all about you, right?" So it's pretty good. I'll tell you something about Matt. He is my friend, and I will lay down my life for him if it's required of me. And you know what's really cool? We're both on the same team. And we need you guys on the same team because the odds are against us. Now, this week, we don't need to rehash it. Well, actually, for the listeners, let's just cover a couple things. The TPP this week with the Supreme Court basically said we now have to subject ourselves to, you know, foreign bodies. The court illegally ruled against the laws and constitutions of multiple states, forcing them to accept homosexual so-called marriage in all 50 states. The final nail in the coffin of an empire is the state-sanctioned advancement of sexual deviancy. I already said that. This was an action by a very militant homosexual movement. It's permeated all the facets of our culture on a cultural, political, entertainment, media, social level, and all of our institutions now, including education and the military and the churches. Not all of the churches, but it has deeply entrenched itself in the church in America. The Christians overseas are stunned at what they're watching. Now, we have, oh, what was the other one? The Supreme Court also ruled that you cannot require citizenship in order for someone to vote this week. Did you guys hear that? It was an Arizona case. The Supreme Court overturned Arizona's law saying you cannot require proof of citizenship to vote. That is, they just established case law. You know that that is going to roll over to every other state. The Republic is dead. Start planning on the rebuilding, but we have to survive some things first. It's going to be a long, hard journey. Let me tell you that right now. Several articles came out this week. Orthodox Christians must now learn to live as exiles in their own country. And what was the other one? It was by Franklin Graham. It said, prepare for the coming persecution, Christians. All right, everybody, prepare. Go, prepare. What does that mean? What does that mean, prepare for the coming persecution? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this. First of all, I need to let you know there is a sequence of events that takes place. And anytime a group is persecuted, the very first thing that happens is the marginalization of them. This usually happens like through our entertainment system. You see the sitcoms, the Christian is like the doofy moron, idiot, square, whatever. They start to marginalize them. And then they demonize them. Actually, they're not doofuses. Actually, they're pretty bad, evil, hateful people. Then the next stage is criminalization. Are we starting to see criminalization? Yes. It is now against the law to refuse to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple. And that little goof up is going to cost you $140,000 or sensitivity training for you and all of your employees. Or we're going to have to take your business or shut it down for you. Criminalization, but they're not quite incarcerating people. They're just eviscerating them financially and economically. So the incarceration's next. That's where people will begin to be arrested for hate crimes violations, human rights violations. The human rights movement has been hijacked, as you know. So you have marginalization, then demonization, then criminalization, then incarceration, and then extermination. That's the final phase. The machine that Christians and especially pastors had always thought unthinkable in America is now in motion. The clergy in America has given a lackluster effort at resisting the militant homosexual agenda. Why? Because they're exempt. How many times have we seen Christians being persecuted and the pastors did nothing? Why? Because the local government or the state government said, we're not after pastors. You totally have the right, freedom of religion. But this ruling last week just changed everything. Now they're talking about the loss of 501c3 status for Christians. Now they've basically just turned it into a human right. So there will be no exemptions. Even though they say there's exemptions, of course, for religious. And then it was just religious exemptions only apply to clergy. And then pretty soon it's not going to apply to anyone. So let's talk about some things. I wrote an article this week. The moment when it all sunk in and you realized that we weren't just joking about this tyranny thing, right? There are several emails that I received when people said, I just have such a heavy heart. I can't believe what's happened to my country. And we're just hosed. What do we do? So I thought, let's get some action plans first of all, okay? First of all, this is a phase. It's a season. It will pass. Tyranny's not going to pass, not without a fight. But where we're at right now is going to transition through several different seasons. We need to get through this one, and we're going to have to go underground at some point on some level. And then we're going to start talking about the resistance, and this will incorporate the resistance as well. We're not talking about overthrowing the government, resistance, blowing up trains, and cutting communications lines and stuff like that. Right now, there are people who are actually having underground churches because they are being tortured and abused all over the world. We have so much to learn from the persecuted church, and so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. First thing you need to do is pray. Number one. Now, I don't mean driving down the road thinking about God, pray. I mean, you need to start praying like you have not ever prayed before. You need to get on your knees, lock yourself in your room, and you need to start praying for wisdom and discernment. There is going to be deception. There already is in the church. Christians are confused about what to do right now. You're going to have Christians telling you that you are out of line for going against the system because government is instituted by God. So going against government is going against God. Because Romans chapter 13 says you're supposed to obey the government. Now, Pastor Hady has covered that in depth. Several of us have covered that. I'm not a pastor, but I am a godly man, and I strive to understand, make sure I know what the word says, because I don't want to be wrong. That's my fear. I hate public speaking just because I'm so afraid of saying something. Not that I don't care if it worries, gets all the libtards all worked up. I don't want God mad at me. You realize how much responsibility there is when people, when you got thousands of people going, tell us what to do. Oh, well, duh, right? You better be careful what you say, what comes out of your mouth. We're going to be held accountable for that. That scares me. But also, we have to be courageous enough to say the truth. When you know it's the truth, you have to speak it. Even when other people, when other Christians, when other pastors are saying, you're out of line. You better know that you're right. But when you know you're right, you better speak it. I want to jump ahead a little. Actually, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to make sure I stay in sequence here as much as I can for these notes. You need to pray for you and your spouse and your children. You're going to be challenged unless you're not in the fight. No, there's coming a time when you won't be able to sit this one out. The pastors are thinking that they're just going to sit this one out. They're being forced. You're going to have to get off the fence. You're going to have to pick a side. So, you're going to pray for wisdom and discernment and a hunger for his word. You're going to pray for patriot leadership, legislators, clergy, community leaders, patriot leaders, your sheriff, other officials, your Bible study leader, home group guy. You start praying for these leaders. They're going to need courage and they're going to need wisdom. They're going to need discernment, and a lot of people are going to be looking to them for solutions. Have the courage to stand for truth no matter what the cost is, and know how to tell the difference. I can't place enough emphasis on that now. We need the leaders. We have a shortage of clergy. God-fearing, truly God-fearing clergy that are patriots, because we're going to get confused information coming. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Pray for your church. Pray for the church to protect them. Pray that he will strengthen your faith in him and to give you the wisdom to prepare, that he provide for your needs in those areas that you're not physically able to prepare in. We're going to talk about preparing. Put on the full armor of God. Learn what that means. Now, somebody wrote me a note because I wrote prepare, build safe houses, leadership. Someone said, oh, I don't see any of that. And put on the full armor of God. Well, they said, you're supposed to put on the full armor of God and then stand. Right, stand. Because the battle's coming. Don't run from it. Stand, prepare. The enemy is coming. Right? Oh, maybe it means just stand there and pick your nose. I put on the full armor of God. No, I just... Oh, you're effective. You have to get in the fight. Sometimes you have to swing your sword. Sometimes the Lord does the battle for you. Do you know which one God's got in mind for you? You got it all figured out. Because if you're on the team that's just like God's going to do all the work, you won't have to swing your sword. I want to be on your team. That'd be awesome. We don't know. We don't know. He may do the battle for us, and there's going to be some times when we may have to actually do the battle. Sometimes spiritual meets physical. Be prepared for both. Somebody says, let me back up a little bit. I jumped ahead. Put on the full armor of God and learn what that means. Prepare. Do not be a refugee. You want to talk to some refugees in Syria, Nigeria, Sudan, Ethiopia, Bosnia, Iraq? What it's like to be a refugee. A lot of times because they're starving to death and they have no choice. They have to go to try to find food. Then on the road, they're vulnerable. Be self-reliant so you can try to stay in your own community as much as you can. Is absolutely as much as you can so you don't have to go to the government for help because it will be there for you. You just have to leave your guns and your dignity at the door and that Bible because it's hate speech. And then you can come in. We'll feed you. We'll water you, right? Be as self-reliant as much as you can. Stock up enough food for at least 1 year for your family and then start stocking up for someone else. Now, I don't mean you're a college student coming back that's going to like drop in and you already know they're going to show up. I'm talking about the family that just escaped with nothing but the clothes on their back because they're wanted, because the guy was discovered to be holding an illegal underground Bible study and they're on the run now. Be prepared to take people in. Have the ability to capture, produce your own water. Have medicines and medical supplies. Communications, be able to at least receive communications locally with a scanner or long-range communications with a shortwave radio because patriots will be transmitting information and intelligence and putting customized communications plans that your group will put out. You need to be able to receive that communications. Invest in at least one person, preferably two, who will get their ham license in the next 6 weeks. I'm serious about this. We're on borrowed time. At least one of them should quickly get his general class license so you can have HF capabilities. And then practice. Don't stick it away in a box and don't use it. You're going to use it on game day. Practice with it now or you will not use it on game day when we need you. All the ham operators will tell you this ain't going to happen. You're not going to communicate. Communicate right now. I'm going to just jump off course a little bit. Now, a lot of these stories that we have here, tortured for Christ, many of you have heard of this. There are so many stories right now in Iran, in Turkey, China, all over the underground church is growing like crazy. In fact, in China, it's estimated that they will be the largest Christian nation in the world in 10 years from now. They're persecuted. Guys, our church is becoming apostate in America. God wants to protect and preserve his bride, even if we have to be persecuted for our church to grow. It might be exactly what we need. And it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be American. But it's for his glory. We've got to be prepared for that. It's going to be an amazing opportunity to spread the gospel. People will be brought to their knees. It's going to make the Christians real. In or out, hot or cold, all in or all out. There's no fence sitters. What's coming, you're not going to be able to just sort of be a patriot Christian. But people will be so receptive to it. And there's going to be people that the remnant are going to be persecuted. We were told we were going to be persecuted. Oh, I've been persecuted this far. Oh, that one time I don't think I was picked a squad leader that one time because I think it's because I was a Christian. Oh, yeah, well, Lord said you'll face persecution. You ain't seen nothing yet. We've not been persecuted yet. Some of us, very mildly, but we need to prepare for that. The other thing is safe houses. The decision of where and when to conduct underground church meetings can be done later, all right? We're going to talk about, and of course, you're going to change that up often. When you build safe houses, that's going to change. So what we'll do is let's talk about some constants. Develop your home into a safe house where you could host someone who needs a place to go. Start preparing to take someone in to your home, especially if you're not high profile. especially if you're not. If you're high profile, don't even forget it. Don't plan on your place being a safe house. The birds, all right, I'm not going there because I just wanted to have to take two birds out with one drone strike. Oh, that was bad. So next, develop a secondary safe house. Some place that has no ties to you. Someone says, well, how do you develop a second safe house that doesn't have any ties to you? If your secondary safe house, oh, first of all, your safe house is where you can take people in. That might not be possible. In fact, you may need to DD Mao out of there at some point in the future. If that happens, you need to have a separate place to go that's not your parents' place. Okay? Some place that's not your vacation cabin that's in your name. That's what I mean by a secondary place that has no connections to you. Do you have an old mentor that was your Boy Scout leader when you were growing up? You still stay in contact? The guy would never betray you. Have his full trust. You've looked up to him your whole life. And he's told you, if you ever need a place to go, you can come to my place. All right, but basically, you don't hang out with him. You don't. There's no algorithm showing your cell phone going to his place every Thursday night, right? Maybe you just go there personally while you leave your cell phone at home. Start thinking about security issues like this and start arranging another safe house where you can go if you ever have to, a place for your leadership to go. Don't tell anybody about this. There's a term. Patriots, we're entering a new era. You're going to start learning some new things like vetting, if you've never heard that term, like OPSEC, if you've never heard that, PERSEC. Okay, vetting means you thoroughly check somebody out using your gut, using your head, using every resource that you have to make sure this person is who they say they are, that they're on the up and up, that they're not going to bring you or your organization down, your Bible study group or whatever it is. OPSEC is a military term that means operation security. That means zip it. I was at an event a year ago, and we were talking about preparing for the future because of the way things are going, and this guy comes up and says, hey, just thought I'd let you know, man, we got a full-on underground hospital, like surgical center, all this stuff. It's like totally ready to go. So if like anybody ever needs, I'm like, who are you and who authorized you to tell me that? He just stared at me. You don't tell anybody that unless you've been cleared. Well, you're John Jacob. But you're like down here. You're like the little helper guy. You have to appeal to a higher authority. There's a chain of command. Somebody in your whatever, your group, your assembly, your mutual assistance group or something like that, that goes through them. You go through your pastor or his designated person. You insulate your pastor from that knowledge. The pastor should absolutely not know where all the safe houses are in his church. This is all compartmentalized information. He has a team of three guys who don't know who each other are, and each one of those guys is aware of a handful of safe houses within your network. They don't know who each other are. So if they get their hands on the pastor and start putting the squeeze on him, the three guys can go into hiding before he can give their names up, and he will. So these safe houses, don't tell me about them. They should just be there in place that you just, when somebody's in trouble, you just say, come with me. I've got it. You work out a program, sign with you, with your group. So you know that this person says, come with me, I got this little card. That means it's safe to come with me, all right? I've been vetted. Let's put you in a safe place. Start networking now as much as you can. Guys, we're not being infiltrated yet. I mean, so some of the militias and stuff like that are, but what I'm saying is we can still meet and still talk about, you know, it says right here, homosexuality, that's a sin. You're not going to have a SWAT team kicking your door in, right? Yet. So now it's safe while you can still trust people now. We're not being infiltrated. In Florida, there was a case where this guy shows up. He fills out this KGB type of report. Witnessed two people appear what appears to be a Bible, conducting what appears to be worship. He's like filling this whole thing out because these people didn't have a permit to have a church in this coffee shop. Right? Who knows? There could be some little rat, little spy in here and right now. We'll sniff you out eventually. I think I'm joking. All right. Now what else? Be prepared to defend yourself and others. If you don't own a combat rifle, buy one. I'm 82 years old. Grandma, great-great-grandma, go buy one. Well, I don't have that kind of money. Well, you got a birthday coming up. You know what? It's not for you. It's for you to pass down to future generations. All these people from Austria and Switzerland, all these places, what do you say? What's your advice? You had tyranny, tanks rolling down your streets, buy guns, lots of guns, lots of guns, and all the ammo that you can afford. This is what they were all, it's like this little old lady saying this from Austria. You don't need to go do all that. There's plenty of stuff you need to spend money on, right? But have a way to defend yourself and a way to pass down to your children so that they can defend themselves. If you don't need it, someone else will. Get in shape. I'm serious. I'm talking to myself here. I get 200 emails a day. It's so hard. I mean, I have to force myself to get, and I'm just getting back into shape now. It's hard. It's hard with our lifestyles. Do it now. Protect your wealth. Switch everything into tangible assets right now. The Hawthorne Bank just put a $2,500 limit on withdrawals without having to fill out an SAR, suspicious activity report. It's coming. What's coming in Greece, the dominoes are going to start falling. Get a hold of your cash right now. Leave whatever in there. If you're going to have an automatic payment for your mortgage, your truck payment, or whatever's coming out, keep that in there, what you need to, you know, do business. But do not be sitting on $45,000 cash in your bank right now. Right? Put it into whatever, gold, silver, lead, especially like copper jacketed type lead, or things like that, right? I want you guys to read some things. When the Almond Tree Blossoms is a story by a Christian author by the name of David Akeman about the coming, the next civil war in this country. And what's interesting is the two groups are the People's Movement and the Constitutionalists. We're running out of time here. I want to point to a sheriff down here. This is where I want to tread lightly here. One of the things that God said, there are seven things that are that the Lord hates. Six of them are an abomination. I'm paraphrasing. I got to go back. One of those is sowing seeds of discord among brethren. That scares me. Because we have to have the discernment to call people out and say, you're out of line. But you better make sure you're right. There's a sheriff who boldly said, I will stand here for my faith. I am not ashamed of being a Christian. If that offends you, then I don't care. Good job. And then he turns around and he says, one of the biggest threats that we have in this country are constitutionalists and right-wing militias. Have you ever heard of a left-wing militia? The guy says, we respect the Constitution, but people, there's a war on against police. He's thinking all cop before Christian. Here's the thing. The guy's calling us out as the enemy, a bigger threat, a more pressing threat than ISIS. And we are God-fearing. You know what's weird? You know what just really screws with my mind? We're all going to be in heaven together forever. And right now, I just want to choke him. So we need guidance from our pastors to confront somebody like that. Christians will turn you in. He will turn you in. You know why? Because we have gullible, non-thinking leaders in positions like that who are sitting there swallowing all of the tax-funded Southern Poverty Law Center, indoctrination, that's telling him, you know who the biggest threat is? Constitutionalists. Constitutionalists? Are you crazy? People who say, I support the Constitution. Well, that's that's pretty fundamentalist. Well, the Constitution is pretty stinking fundamental to our country. And we're the enemy. And he's a Christian. I stand by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't care if that offends you. Now let's talk about them constitutionalists. And then, but you know what he does? He went right down the list talking about this guy's an Aryan nation. This guy tried to blow up the Martin Luther King, you know, parade. This, like, these guys aren't constitutionalists. The list, the examples that he gave are not constitutionalists or Christians. Unless Christian Aryan or something way out there that's the farthest thing from Christianity. He points to us. He's pointing to Matt Shea. He's talking to conservative talk show hosts by name. So we need some guidance from our pastors. How to deal with that? How to approach that? Can they approach him? Something. I don't know what to do about that. But basically, the guy basically points to us and says, we're the enemy. A fellow Christian. We're going to have to be confronted with that one day. We're going to be seeing people turn other Christians in.
I'm going to better stop because we're out of time. Plus, there's just some stuff that I don't need to go into yet. But I just have a bunch of notes, and I said, I'm just going to go until I run out of time. I don't have this whiz-bang closing because there's so much that I wanted to get out there to you guys. This is what I want to leave you with before we bring on Rocker Jordan Page. I love that guy. So good to see him again. I wish he could bring his family with him. It'd be cool to do that sometime for him. Okay. I want you guys to get in the fight. I want you to pick a leader and find out however you can support them, do it. An elected official, a community leader, whatever it is, and you invest and you support them in every way that you can, and your pastor. Get ready, get prepared for the underground. I've got an article, I'm covering this series right now that will equip you for the underground, at least certain aspects of it. We got to be careful about how we do this. Right now we're talking about the underground church and defying laws. It will be illegal to have an unsanctioned church at some point in the future. It's going to be illegal at some point for you to have encrypted communications that the government doesn't have access to. It's going to be illegal for you to have certain material, reading material, that's going to be deemed right-wing extremists. You're going to have to be prepared to start living like criminals. Because you will be. But you're going to be obedient to the highest authority while you're doing it. Not out of a spirit of rebellion. This is, guard your hearts, patriots. This has to be done out of righteous resistance in a way that's honoring to the Lord, obedient to him. Remember David, when he could have killed Saul? He says, I cannot do this, right? I don't want to dishonor God. He respected the authority of the king to the point where he was fearful of harming Saul, who was hunting him down. I mean, what do you want? What's your biggest wish, John Jacob? 20 minutes in a locked room with Obama? But you know what? Lord's got him in there for some reason right now. He's using him as a tool. Obama's not the problem. It's the electorate who put him in there. He's the temperature gauge measuring the sickness of our culture. What the heck do you expect you're going to get for a president? After this week, let me close with this. This is why we were in trouble, patriots. After this week, all the stunning blows from the Obama administration, who also wrote this thing saying that children do not have a right to a mother or two parents. It is not their right. They disagree with the California Proposition 8, you know, arguments. This Obama administration just ruled officially, made a statement that children do not have a right to two parents of opposite sex. And in this week, Obama's approval rating shot up to over 50%. Let that sink in, patriots. You are the remnant. There are a lot of Christian patriots, and more are moving here to the American Redoubt all the time. I hear from them.
God just prompted us. We just moved here. There's an American Redoubt movement thing. What? Right? So, anyway, I just want to thank you guys for your time. It's just, there's so much to say, and the time goes so fast, but we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue with this mission, all right? We're all in it together. So I thank you guys. God bless you. Prepare for the underground, and we're going to give you guys some tools. We're all going to be talking about that in the future. So thank you so much. God bless you. Happy Independence Day.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, John Jacob. Appreciate that.